This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Hello, and welcome to Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident with me, Dave Hill, the Pride of Cleveland and beyond. I once got a free lozenge outside of a truck stop in Pittsburgh. I don't know what that was about either. Anyway, thank you for joining me once again for Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident, coming to you. New episodes every Friday on the internet, and then also every Tuesday, I believe, on FUBAR Radio in the UK. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for rating, reviewing, and subscribing on your favorite podcasting platform, iTunes, whatever, all the other ones, Stitcher, Spotify. By the way, if you have not rated and reviewed yet, and subscribe, please do so, or I swear to God, I'm pulling the plug on this whole operation. Is anybody listening? I don't know. Some of you. Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm off my meds. Let's continue. We have an incredible episode today, as always. Lucy's here looking at me. She's like, really? You sure about that, Dave? I'm pretty sure about it. As always, I want to thank / encourage, if you haven't yet, to support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Dave Hill, and keep this podcast going on fumes, I'll be honest. And also our other podcast, History Fluffer, which, there's nothing like that podcast in the world. I encourage you to check it out. Dave Hill History Fluffer, in which I describe my key involvement in a lot of history and culture's great events over time. I do that with Jim Biederman, Jody Lennon, and of course my partner in crime, Chris Gersbeck. Speaking of Patreon, I want to thank some new supporters, subscribers, whatever you call it, patrons, I guess you would say. That's the word I was looking for, Dave. That wasn't so hard. I want to thank Kat Smith in Hamilton, Ontario. Kat, you of course get a Dangerous Snakes Who Hate Bullshit gang member name. Kat, your name is Kat Smith, the Hamilton Hammer. Chris, add some reverb or echo after I say hammer. It'll sound cool. The Hamilton Hammer. Oh, I hurt my throat talking like that. I also want to thank Ken Hasty. Ken Hasty, who won't waste any time turfing your lawn. That's a pretty sweet gang member nickname. Ken, if I do say so myself, carve it into your arm. No, wait. I can't advise you to do that. I can't stop you from doing it. Anyway, let's get into it. We have a lovely episode. I'm catching up with my partner in crime, Chris Gersbeck, on this episode. It went a little something la-la like this.
Should I do an intro later?
Yeah, I guess so.
Or just do it now?
I guess we can just do it now.
Right? Let's do it now. Let's fuck it. We'll do it live. That's a reference to Bill O'Reilly.
My favorite. I love that clip.
Favorite scumbag.
What are some of your go-to YouTube clips? That's my definitely one of them.
Go-to YouTube clips? I'm glad you asked. Lately, well, I've always put this on like right before I go to bed, so I'm always exhausted. But I've been watching. I'm about halfway through a performance by Niflheim, a Swedish black metal / thrash metal band. Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing. They're playing in Portugal, but even if you don't like, I really like, they wear a lot of spikes and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just impressed. I'm easily impressed by that. And so that's what I've been. But the thing is, I was trying like right before I go to bed, so I watched like two songs. It's only an hour. Mm-hmm. And it's been taking me three nights to get through it. But so I've been that's the latest viewing, but I watch.
See, I watch so that Bill O'Reilly clip I've seen a million times.
Mm-hmm.
Kelsey Grammer falling off a stage.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
You haven't?
Let's have a look. Pulling it up. Sometimes I'll watch, and now I'm seeing like what I actually pull. Kelsey Grammer falls off stage. Okay, here we go. And I like to think I'm above.
Laughing at Kelsey Grammer falling off a stage.
But I might not be. Let's try.
The whole team trying to help him recover.
See, this is he could have like really pulled a save and been entertaining. What I would have done is just pick up the sentence where I left it off.
Trek through It's a Small World pretending I was a UN interpreter.
Oh man.
Dear Lord.
Oh, he's apparently a conservative. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that makes it...
I guess that's more...
I mean, I've been laughing at that clip for years, but I believe he's a Trump supporter now, so...
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. It's even funnier.
Oh, then I wish he had been hurt worse. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say things like that. That's not helping the dialogue. Or is it?
I think it is.
Okay, that's entertaining.
Yeah,
I would say. Though ultimately, when you go like, "Oh, he's genuinely hurt," I don't like that. Even you know, even though
he's fine. I mean, he's standing there.
He's fine.
He didn't break anything.
Lucy, come on. We're talking about YouTube clips. This is important. I pretty much watch like. Well, you know what I like? I like watching a nice. Noel Gallagher or Liam Gallagher. I know that's a bit of a, you know, but they still entertain me to this day.
It's great.
I love watching any of their interviews.
I know.
Because they...
Noel Gallagher has the best quotes. He should just put a book out of just him tearing apart people.
Well, plus, like, he makes sort of ripping on people, like, he's so good at it that it doesn't even seem mean. You're just like, oh, that's really fun.
Yeah, I know.
Like, and I feel like in less capable hands, it's not as good. Liam Gallagher is pretty funny too.
Yeah,
I recommend those. What else do I like? I don't know. I like watching a sweet guitar solo.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't know any good clips. I guess.
I was really into shredding videos for a while. Do you know what that is?
Shredding guitar?
It's when they, there's this one guy that doesn't, but it's like taken off a lot since then, but they just take footage of like just live concert footage and then they redo the music.
Oh, like,
and make it sound
their solo's
terrible.
Really bad. Yeah, yeah, I've seen those. Those are really good.
There's one for Creed that's amazing. But they do them for everyone. There's a really good Radiohead one. I love that.
I watched an Ozzy Osbourne one. That was really good. And then, what else? An Yngwie Malmsteen one.
Mm-hmm.
That was really good. Yeah, those are entertaining.
We should do one for Valley Lodge.
Sometimes I worry that the actual show itself isn't really much better. No, we're amazing. Come on.
When is the next Valley Lodge show?
I'm glad you asked. June 1st, we're playing with Ellen and the Degenerates in Bushwick.
Oh, I know that band.
Yeah, they're great.
I know the singer. Yeah.
And she said she's going to come out to QED tonight.
Oh, okay.
I think she said that.
Yeah. I haven't seen her in a while.
Oh, she's a delight.
Yeah.
She was on my WFMU show. I think that's how I met her. But, like, yeah, we're going to rock. We're
nice.
Totally going to rock.
Where is that again?
Bushwick something. I could look it up. Why not? Let's have a look, Dave. I'm just getting hydrated, so my brain is starting to work. Oh, Bushwick Public House. Do you know what that is?
Mm-mm.
It'll mark, I think, the first time anyone in our... Well, no, like most of the guys, myself included, don't ever go that far into Brooklyn. We're old men.
I think I'm going to have to put my foot down about going to Brooklyn, actually, because it took me 2 hours to get there for my friend's one-year-old birthday party.
Well, there was your first mistake.
And it was in the middle of Prospect Park.
Oh, forget it. No.
And I get there, my phone was about to die, and I couldn't find them. And then my phone died, and I still couldn't find them. So I just had to turn around and go home.
Well, the thing about being invited to anything in a large park is you can just say, I couldn't find you guys. And then you don't ever have to leave the house. Be like, where are you guys? My battery is really low.
Yeah, I kind of had to...
Where are you guys?
Oh,
my God. I feel like I can hear you. Where are you? And then you're not even... You're just at home enjoying
the
life.
Especially the park is as big as Prospect Park. I called him at one point. I was like, I don't see you guys. I could have been totally lying. But I wasn't.
That's exactly...
There.
Yeah. Never go to anything in a park.
But
it's your ticket out.
That
if they say it's in a park... You don't have to go.
Yeah, anytime I go to Brooklyn, something like that happens, so...
Plus, like, anytime I've ever been to, like, a birthday party or some sort of gathering in a park, as nice as it is, after, like, 10 minutes, you're like, well, now what do we do?
Yeah, I know.
If someone's like, I brought couscous. Do you like couscous? I forgot forks. I got natural popsicles.
Uh-huh.
Do you want one? They're kind of melting, so you have to be really careful.
It's every picnic.
Picnic I've ever been to. So I just say no.
Yeah.
Or don't say no. Pretend you were going.
So
then
it's not...
Then don't go.
You said it's some of your band's first time going to Bushwick?
No, well, I would wager some of them have not been.
Yeah.
But Valley Lodge, three of us live in Manhattan, and one lives on Long Island.
Oh, wow.
And I think three of us, myself not included, don't really go out very often.
Yeah.
I'm a rager. Within reason. Like, I'll stay out till 10 o'clock sometimes.
I am too, but it has to be in my own borough.
Yeah. Within, like, a block from my house.
The thing is, like, I feel like most of the time I go out to Brooklyn, it's to see people that have cars. Or disposable income.
What do you mean?
People that could easily drive to Queens, but it takes me 2 hours to get out to Brooklyn.
Oh, wait, so they just... Why do they make you come to them?
They don't make me. It's just I feel like I only, like, get invited to Brooklyn by people who live in Brooklyn, which, you know, makes sense. But
That's sort of how Manhattan works, though, too. Like, living in the...
Yeah, but Manhattan's so much easier. I don't
living
mind
in the West
Manhattan.
Village, I pretty much... claim dominance of location whenever
you're way easier
anyone to wants to hang out. I'm like, you must come within 2 blocks of my home. It's not happening. But I feel like when I didn't live in this neighborhood and I had friends in this neighborhood, I would honor that principle.
Because
you come over here and you're like, oh yeah, we should hang out here.
That's why we recorded your apartment.
Yeah. Though, breaking news... I think we're going to try to do a Skype episode soon.
Yeah, we
should. Just out of sheer laziness. We shouldn't even say that we're going to try and do it because I think it probably sounds like we're in the same room, maybe.
I know.
I mean...
We should try to fool people.
No one would know if we're Skyping right now.
Oh, man.
I just blew my own mind. Today we are going to... This is a special catch-up episode. Well, we were talking about this, and I guess we should consult the listeners, the tens of thousands of listeners to this incredible podcast, that I enjoy having just having these catch-up episodes as much as I enjoy having the guests. And so we were discussing doing these a bit more often. Mm-hmm. Still having guests, don't get me wrong. But also doing these when it's just me, you, and Lucy tackling the tough topics, asking the tough questions.
She's conked out.
She's had it. She's basically had it. I think, like, there's not as much stimulation here because there's not a stranger in the apartment.
Yeah,
usually she's like, holy shit, new person, new smells, new crotch. Let's get into it. But today she's like, oh, that's Chris. I know what his crotch smells like. I know what his butthole smells like. I've moved on.
It's heating up.
Have you been out on the deck yet?
Today?
Yeah.
Not today. I usually don't really go on the deck during the day.
It's more of a nighttime cutting loose.
It's nice.
Jams.
I would just hang out there, right out there.
I would, but then you can't really see the monitor. Because
it's too bright.
It's too bright. No, but this weekend I'm thinking of cutting loose out there. Getting some Heinekens. Just cutting loose.
Can neighbors see you out there?
Oh, they can see it all. No, it's kind of hard to see because it's pretty high up. Huh. It's sort of like, to give the listener, if you've ever seen the Hitchcock thriller, Rear Window.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. You can look out and you can see into everyone's apartments.
Do you ever see anything good?
Define good.
Nudity?
Yes. But it's hard to really look out for that sort of thing, because if you get busted, then you seem like a perv. So if a nude figure happens to cross the frame of my view, then I'll be like, bonus. Right. But I won't.
You won't.
Like, look for it.
Yeah.
But no, nothing. Rarely see, like. And to be fair, you know, I'm not afraid of giving a free. Anyone. I don't think. I guess you could see into my front. The front of my apartment, but I stroll around with my junk out all the time. But I think it would be very hard for anyone to see unless they were like, because it's pretty high up.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. And also, then, like, during the day, you have the window open. No one can really see in.
Plus, I'm very European. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind if someone sees my junk. Mm-hmm. I got no secrets. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm free with my. But I don't. I wouldn't. I don't know what I would really. There's nothing that I'm looking to do that I wouldn't do out on the deck. Like, it's nothing like where I'm like, oh, I better take this inside.
Yeah.
It's about to get creepy out here. I like to go out there, have a nice cheese plate, drink some wine, some coldies, listen to some Stone Cold jams. I have, like, a lot of mixes on my iTunes that are curated solely for hanging out on the deck and partying.
That's great.
Their deck, you know, they're like all sorts of jams that are sweet for hanging. Mm-hmm. Having coldies.
Coldies.
Really turned that into a long answer. But today we were going to, weren't we going to discuss crank phone calls?
Yeah.
A hot topic.
Which I've been a huge fan of since I was a kid.
Oh, me too. I love a crank call.
It's not what it used to be.
No, with everyone being able to know who's calling.
Yeah, it was great when you were a kid with a nice landline and a phone book.
Yeah. I used to I made crank calls, like, well, at one point, I don't know, maybe during college, I think my dad, or maybe, I don't even, might have been after college, my dad decided to, like, make a home office.
Uh-huh.
So he got a second phone number.
Yeah.
So we had two landlines in the house, which was like luxury living. Could not believe it.
Yeah, I got that when I was a teenager.
My brother and I, like, got a room. Whoa! Line. Like, I can't even imagine. Yeah, it definitely wasn't in high school, because that would have revolutionized. Maybe it was in high school. It was in. No, it might have been. I can't remember. At some point, in my teens it happened. And so we got this line, and then my dad had... So I could go and call my mom on that line. So I could... So I would go upstairs into my dad's office.
Calls coming from inside the house.
Well, they wouldn't know because we didn't have caller ID.
Mm-hmm.
And I would call...
No one did back then. No.
And you know, call my mom... Lou Bear, come on, sweetie. We're podcasting. I would call my mom while my siblings were in the kitchen so they could see what was going on. And I would just, like, offer her all these services. Like, she had just gotten new carpet. Hey, Lucy, come on. I'm telling a really engaging story. So I would call, like, my mom had just gotten new carpet in the whole house.
Mm-hmm.
So I called trying to sell her carpet. And she was just like, you know, so she's like, well, I just got new carpet. It's funny you called. And
would you disguise your voice?
Yeah, I would disguise my voice, and I would just be like, where did you get it from? Like, how much did you pay? Is it flawed? And I would, like, ask her if I could come over and look at it and, like, all this stuff. And she would get so mad at me. It was the best.
Yeah, I remember us getting a fax machine when I was, like, 8 or 9.
Oh.
And we got a second landline.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember using it to call my mom. And we'd just watch When a Stranger Calls. Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
It's Carol Kane, late 70s, plays a babysitter.
Carol Kane from Taxi?
Carol? Yeah, is she in Taxi?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And,
I know her.
Yeah, Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, and Kimmy Schmidt. I don't know why I said Taxi. Of course, Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, she's been a lot of stuff.
I was on an episode of Kimmy Schmidt with her. We shared a scene.
I remember.
Pretty cool.
I remember watching that episode and going, hey, I think I know that guy. But there's a very famous line in that where she plays a babysitter,
mm-hmm.
and she keeps getting phone calls, and then she calls the operator and says the calls are coming from inside the house.
Oh, that the famous line.
Yeah. Well, every time the guy calls, he says, have you checked the children? So I would call my mom and say, have you checked the children? And she thought it was funny because she realized immediately. It's me.
That's amazing.
And then my friend... my friend Samantha was friends with growing up. She had an apartment in Queens that, like, she lived on the first floor, and if you looked outside of her window, there was a payphone. So we would just call the payphone, and people would pick up. we would freak them out because we could tell them, like, we would be like, I'm watching you. We would, like, describe what they were wearing.
That was awesome back when payphones used to. I don't even know. Do they work anymore?
I don't think so. They replaced them with all those Wi-Fi hub things.
Oh, yeah. And on the rare occasion when I see someone trying, just picking up a payphone, I'm like, what happened? What's wrong?
Yeah.
Something horribly wrong must have happened.
But yeah, it's great because you could just go to any payphone and look up the number. And you could just call that number.
Yeah.
So my brother and I used to do that all the time. Just call payphone and just fuck with people.
We used to, right after college, for a little while, I lived in New York. Still, I went to Fordham and then moved into the city. And then I had some friends living on the upper, way Upper East. Well, I guess not that way, but Upper East Side, like 90 something in First Avenue, uh-huh. which I have not been. Since, I don't think.
Yeah, I've been there in years.
But there was a payphone out right in front of their building, and like they had no buzzer or anything, so we had to call them on the payphone and get them to throw the keys down.
Yeah.
But we were so broke that we didn't want to spend the money.
A quarter.
We were just like, that's too much. Like it was a time in my life when I literally would have like $7 to my name.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And, I remember one time I tried to make $10 last a week.
Yeah, I'd be able to do that in college too.
I was just like, I'm gonna do it. Just out of principle, I was just like,
I would buy like a sub and cut it into four parts. That would feed me for 2 days.
I just decided, like, I didn't have anywhere to live. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just like sleeping at whatever friend's house I ended up at.
Wow.
I would sleep at. And then I had like $10, and I would just like buy ramen noodles, mm-hmm. and just cook it wherever I ended up that had a stove. And then I walked everywhere. Like, I would walk from 90th and 1st or whatever to, you know, 10th and B or whatever. I would just walk everywhere. And anyway, so, but the guys on the way Upper East Side, we would call collect and say a collect call from Mr. Keys, which meant like come to the window and throw the keys down. Yeah. And
oh, that was a good hack too.
Yeah, and then eventually the phone company or whatever was onto it, and they wouldn't allow collect calls to happen anymore.
Well, I remember at one point, yeah, there was like the operator. You had to ask the operator, "Hey, can you call and say this is so and so?" So you couldn't really get past them, but then they moved on to like automated recordings. It was like, say your name after the tone.
Yeah.
And then you'd say your name. But what I would do is like, if I needed a ride for my parents and I didn't have a quarter, I'd call them and say your name after the beep. I'm like, I'm at the train station, pick me up. And I'm just up.
I love that. Beat the system.
Yeah.
But oh, around this time though, well actually when I was still in college, I made this crank call to a friend of ours, and I don't know why, like, I think we just thought that nothing bad ever happened. We were going to school in the Bronx, and I guess we just thought, like, certainly no one, this one's scaring us. I called my friend Tom, and I told him, we're gonna come there. Not funny at all. It's like, we're gonna come there and kill you.
When you get scared.
Yeah. Because I didn't, like, it was like, went on for a while. It's like, we're gonna come there. But to me, I thought, well, that's absurd. Yeah. No one would ever take that seriously. And then we found out he was
just like, talking to cops.
He spent the whole night up and was just like, oh shit, someone's gonna come and kill me. And he was kind of mad at me after that for a little while. Understandably, looking back on it. But
yeah, my brother and I used to just look up funny names in the phone book and then basically just harass people because they had unfortunate names.
Oh yeah.
Like anyone with the last name Butt.
Oh, yeah.
Just asking for it.
That's like, yeah, I had my friend Pete growing up, there was someone in his town with the last name Loud, and they would call this, and this is like a child's, like, just undeveloped brain, but also very funny. Like, they would call all the time and be like, is Mr. Loud, like, scream into the phone. Which I think it's pretty funny.
There's one my mom actually taught me. It was, you look up someone with the last name Lipschitz, because it's a very common name.
Yeah.
And you call them up and you say, is Mr. Lipschitz there? And when they said yes, you would just say, well, if you're Lipschitz, let me hear your ass talk.
Your mom taught you this?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love that. My mom wouldn't have taught me.
It's something that, it's like the kind of thing my mom would teach me, and then my dad would find out and be a little upset.
Be in trouble. No, my mom would not. She would just be like, oh, David, that's horrible.
Yeah, I think my mom found our prank call antics funny. Mm-hmm. My dad was not amused, though.
Yeah, you can't really. The only thing now, like, that I do as a prank call is I'll when telemarketers call or whatever, like press one to hear, and I actually get them on the line, and I just talk to them until they hang up on me. And I've had people like, you know, if it's a dude, I'll just be like, "You sound really attractive. Describe yourself to me."
Oh my god, that's great.
And you know, or whatever, I'll change it up every time.
Yeah.
I'm not creepy to women if they,
right.
You know, not to brag, but I'm perfect.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of spam messages on Instagram, and it's like clearly just, it's like guys sending photos of topless women being like,
"Oh yeah,
and being these are my boobs, come here."
Oh yeah.
And I'll respond to those like, "Jesus Christ, what are you trying to do to me?" I'm at work.
Yeah, I haven't gotten, now I'm jealous, I haven't gotten any of those in a while.
Yeah, those are fun. That reminded me of another thing from my childhood. I think I was probably like 12, 13.
Mm-hmm.
Like finding an old Playboy or something, and then going to the back and looking up like the phone numbers and stuff.
Like what? Like sex lines?
Like sex lines, but like, all right. So one time we found one of those, and I called a number. It was like a 1-900 number or something, and I didn't think anything of it. Like I was like, oh, how am I? I wasn't thinking like, oh, my parents might find out about this. But we called the number, and it wasn't a real. It wasn't like an operator or anything. It was just like a recording.
Telling a story. Not that I have any idea, but
just like some woman just like telling some story. And I remember I was only on the phone for like maybe 8 minutes or something, and then hung up, told my brother what I did, and then he was like, "You know, they can like, you get charged for that per minute, and it's gonna show up on the phone bill." And
whoa.
I was like, oh, holy shit. I was like,
oh, fuck.
I was like, who, like, I could have been like, I was like, I probably just called like a local number or something. So I remember calling the operator and saying, "Hey, is there any way you could tell me where the last phone number was dialed to?" Like, and she goes, "Yeah, let me look that up." And she comes back and she says, "Guyana."
No way. You learned a hard lesson.
I got a lot of trouble for that.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think when I was of the age where you would find Playboy's places, the numbers had not yet become a thing.
Yeah.
But I just remember always just finding, like, and I was raised, like, super Catholic, so it would just be such, like, the dilemma. Like, what do we do? We've hit the fucking jackpot. But, so we would find Playboys and
where'd you find them?
Like, there was a backstop, but like the grade school I went to, there was a backstop that was like behind the backstop was just all trees and stuff. Like, it wasn't like you couldn't really hang out behind the backstop.
Yeah.
And so they'd be back there, like we would walk in there thinking like, there's a good chance we're gonna find a Playboy back here. Like, it would just be part of walking around the neighborhood, like, let's see if anyone left a Playboy in the bushes back there. Or there was another, like, prep school nearby, and you would find them in the woods surrounding.
Yeah, that's like, there's like a theory that someone just goes around leaving.
In the woods?
Like, in every town, there's just someone whose job is to leave porn in the woods for kids to find.
It's always...
because everyone has that story.
It's always in the woods.
Yeah.
It's always, like, in some wooded, like, some clearing, you know?
Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting if it was, like, a representative from Playboy.
Yeah, I wonder.
Just go town to town and dump a stack of old issues in the woods.
Like, there's another one with, like, the corner of a friend's, like, yard. We found one. No, wait, maybe we didn't find it there. I forget. But, but they would always just be in some... And I remember, I don't know if this is too much, takes a dark, not a dark turn, but loss of innocence. I remember, like, I guess there was, like, a Penthouse or something more aggressive than Playboy. Because they would have like full on porn and Penthouse.
Was dirty.
And I remember seeing like a full on like a woman giving a blowjob. And it was just like on like a tree stump or something. Like someone had left it out, like
Open.
And I was not very old at all. To at least young enough that I was like, what's going on here? Having no idea that was a thing. And I remember just being like, oh. It was a real, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
No pun intended. But then, like, there was such Catholic guilt. Like, I remember one time I found some Playboy somewhere, and I decided, like, I'm gonna take the centerfold home with me.
So you just ripped it out?
I ripped it out, and then I folded it up, like, as small, like, too. It was, like, the size of, like, a postage stamp or something. And I would hide it in... My brother and I had bunk beds, and I would hide it in the frame of the bed, like... Because I was just... And then I had an Evel Knievel, like, an RV that you would drag the motorcycle behind. My dad got me that, or my parents got me that. And then for a while, I was, like, hiding it inside the RV, like it was Evel Knievel's massive centerfold or whatever. But I was so consumed with guilt that I was just sure that I would eventually somehow someone in my family would have the intuition to be like, I bet Dave has a Playboy hidden in the bed frame or in the Evel Knievel.
Yeah.
Like in the back lounge of the Evel Knievel RV. And I just, so after a while I was like, I gotta, and I would just take it out, you know, every few days and just look at it.
Like,
oh man, can't wait to be older.
Yeah. I had a friend who's, you know, you always had that friend that just had a bunch of them, like just owned a bunch of magazines.
Yeah.
I had a friend that would just like every now and then rip out a page and give it to me. So I had all these had all these pages, but I would just hide them like in my books. Like I would just fold it up, put it in like a normal book.
Oh, see, but that'd be too stressful for me.
Cause just like out in the open.
Yeah. Like, but then, and now, even being a grown man, I have this weird, how do you say it, Taschen? The book on the bottom of the coffee table? Like, they do a lot of, they're art books, but some of them are a bit risque. And this one that was given to me is all pictures of, like, wrestling, but then also, it's all wrestling, so it's, like, Mexican wrestling and, like, this and that. But then there's also, I guess there's some genre fetish genre, or was at some point called apartment wrestling, and it's like women wrestling
in
apartments, like scantily clad or nude. So this book, part of it is that, but I still think like when my health starts to go, I better get rid of this book. So no, you know, my nieces and nephews aren't like,
yeah,
have this for. Hopefully they'd have the sophistication to see it as an art book, which it is. Anyway.
I just googled apartment wrestling. This is great. I love it.
Yeah. It's interesting, at least.
It seems somewhat classy in a weird way.
Yeah, it's a weird mix of stuff. But, and then, you know how, like, did you ever, like, growing up always, like, my fantasy was that you would go to the doctor's office, to the dentist's office, and be in the waiting room and think, like, someone
left a...
is going to slip up and somehow there's going to be a Playboy in because someone, you know, just wasn't paying close attention. So it's like People Magazine, Time Magazine, Playboy. Like, I would always just look, think, like, one day someone's going to slip up. It's going to happen. You know, I was very young.
Yeah.
26.
The reality.
No, but like 9 years old. whatever.
If someone did intentionally do that, it'd be super creepy.
It would be extremely creepy. But when you're a kid, you don't realize that. When you're like a pubescent or a just a maniac, you don't think that way. But then one day I was playing in this band. I was in this band, Cobra Verde. And we were touring, and we were in Chicago, and John the Singer was friends with this guy who is an editor at Playboy, and they were based in Chicago, like the editorial offices. So he's like, oh, let's go say hello to my buddy. Let's go to his office. So we go to his office, and then finally, like, oh, the waiting room is full of Playboys. Oh, I was like, this is the scenario that I had waited for my whole life. You know, forgotten I'd wanted so badly.
Yeah.
But then I'm there, and then I'm in the lobby, and they're like, oh, it's all Playboys from all over the world. And, you know, they have the you know, this, you know, German, whatever. And I'm sitting there looking, and I was like, oh, I don't. It was a be careful what you wish for scenario.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh,
I guess Twilight Zone.
I don't really want this to be happening. But he did. So we're in his office just chatting and stuff. Also, no naked ladies walking around the Playboy editorial offices, which I had always assumed.
It's a real letdown, yeah.
I had assumed it was going to be just topless women walking around giggling. Not the case. But, so he was like, yeah, just take, you know, here's our, whatever. They had all these shelves of Playboys from all over the world. And he's like, do you guys take whatever you want? And so, you know, we each took a handful, like, you know, would have them in the van on tour. And then I got back from the tour and I was like, well, I have in my computer bag, I had like a pile of, you know, Playboys from all over the world. And then I was living with my parents at the time. And I had these Playboys, and I was just like, it. I returned to being the little kid. I was just like, I can't handle this.
Yeah, it's too much.
I have to throw these out. Yeah. I can't. Because I felt like there was no chance my parents were going to, like, come in. By the way, my little sister's bedroom, which is where I was living at the time, because my dad had converted my bedroom to an office. So I was in my sister's bedroom, which had been unchanged since childhood. And I'm there, like, as an adult, essentially. At least physically. In my 20s. And I have this computer bag with Playboys in it. But I just thought, my parents would be so disappointed in me.
Yeah.
And I was so, I threw them all out. I don't think I've ever successfully had an adult magazine in my possession in my entire life, like, without being like, this has gotta go.
Yeah.
Well, there's the internet now, so this argument's completely invalid.
I feel like I had some in college, but then, you know, you move in college so often, I think I would just throw them out and be like, well, like, I don't want this shit in my place.
My roommate, my freshman year roommate, and we're still good friends, I won't say his name, though he probably wouldn't care, but he used to take Hustler magazines and, well, he'd take Circus magazines, which was like a heavy metal, hard rock magazine, and he would take the covers off and put them on Hustler, because he didn't want to be bothered to put the Hustlers away. He wanted to be able to leave them out. Like, so he come up with this genius plan.
Yeah, that's a good hack.
So he would just, our freshman year dorm room would have Hustlers
everywhere.
And they were, that's, I have not seen a Hustler in some time, probably since then, I'd have to say. Kind of a horrifying magazine.
Yeah, that's the really graphic one.
Racist and
really?
They would have just, like, racist cartoons and stuff. It's, like, deeply disturbing what they would have in there. But then again, Larry Flint, an American hero in other respects. Freedom of speech and all that.
Yeah, my college, there is a...
And he hates Trump, which I like.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone, basically, as long as you hate Trump, I like you. Got no beef.
In college, there was a thrift store. I lived off campus in a small town called Plattsburgh, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a thrift store that just sold, like, it was like the only place in town where you could buy porn magazines. And like,
what sort of place was this?
It was just like it was like one of those like thrift stores / pawn shops.
Oh, so you could buy like used porn
if you wanted to. Yeah,
that I draw the line.
Used porn.
You do not want used porn.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
It's just you're gonna find some crusty pages.
Ugh.
Or sticky pages. I don't know.
I never understood the whole sticky pages thing. I mean,
yeah, because I guess for them to be sticky, you would have to have like
aimed?
Freshly jizzed into them and then put them on the shelves of this story you're talking about moments later. A scenario, an unlikely scenario.
Yeah.
But still one to be concerned about on some level.
I mean, yeah, it's like suggesting like, a sticky laptop.
Yeah.
You wouldn't necessarily. Anyway.
See, this is. We're probably veering into the kind of stuff we should be talking about to have a popular podcast.
Yeah, I know.
Ejaculating on things. Like real, you know, guy talk. But to finish the thought, I will say that I value my electronics and I respect the cost and everything, that I would not allow anything like that to happen to my my laptop or any of my devices.
Yeah.
Well,
my phone.
I would not.
I don't really care about my phone too much. But my laptop.
Yeah, you don't want that happening. Let's talk about History Fluffer, the hot new podcast that people can't get enough of.
I went to go see my grandma. She's in a nursing home out in Long Island. My parents, we drove out there. It's about an hour. So we listened to the Betty Davis, Joan Crawford episode.
You listened to that episode with your
with
grandma?
My parents. No.
Oh, with your parents.
Just my parents on the car.
If you had listened with your grandmother, I would want to call her personally and apologize. Because
I think she'd love it, actually.
What did your parents think of it?
They love it.
Oh,
I think
really?
They were actually at the taping of that one.
Oh, I think they were, yeah.
It's very funny, though.
But it's a bit dirty.
It's dirty, episode. But it's dirty like in an
juvenile way. In a stupid way.
Yeah.
In the best kind of dirty.
Mm-hmm.
It's
great, and then we're doing another one tonight.
We are doing one tonight. Tonight's subject, this is not a spoiler because it'll come out after we've already done the episode. No, well, it'll come out. Anyway, it's going to be about the Beach Boys.
There's a lot of material to work with there.
Yeah. And some other stuff. I don't want to give it all away.
Yeah.
It's going to be hot. It's going to be stone cold.
I went through a pretty big Beach Boys phase in college, so.
Really?
Yeah.
What aspect of them? The Mike Love, John Stamos.
No.
Era? Or...
pretty solely Brian Wilson, yeah. Pet Sounds, yeah. Smile. There's some good ones in the 70s, too.
Mm-hmm.
Then they fall off.
I was trying to figure out who, because I was thinking about the Beach Boys, as I often do.
Who's there are the some people guy? That cannot stand the Beach Boys.
Well, the Beach Boys, like, you know, it depends how you look at them. Like, they're amazing, but then you know, if you're coming at it from like a Kokomo perspective,
yeah, I understand,
then you might not be into them. Though
I still kind of like Kokomo.
I still like Kokomo.
It was on the Cocktail soundtrack. That was one of the first tapes I ever owned.
The Cocktails? You really buried the lead on this podcast. The Cocktail podcast? Soundtrack. Soundtrack?
Yeah.
How do you...
I was like 5 or 6.
How does the Cocktail soundtrack wind up in the hands of a child?
I think my parents...
Or anyone, for that matter.
I think I was really into rock and roll at that age. like Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, La Bamba had just come out. So I think they would just get me any kind of tape that had like oldies on it. And the Cocktail soundtrack had a lot of oldies on it. It had like Little Richard and Kokomo by the Beach Boys.
Kokomo. Off the floor to kiss. This has inspired me as we're talking. Lucy just looked over at this when I was saying this. She, anyway, it inspired me to look at the Beach Boys website, which in turn inspired me.
They still have a website?
Yeah.
Well, they still tour and stuff, right?
But then I was like, wanted to see if maybe there's some sweet Beach Boys shirts I could get. Throw my money away, get a beach. Like, I need another t-shirt.
Yeah.
But they sort of missed, they don't have that many cool shirts. I got Beach Boys, if you're listening. Missed opportunity.
Yeah.
I would say.
It's just Mike Love now, though, isn't it?
Is it really? No, according to the internet. Let's see.
They keep splitting off and then doing reunions. And.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because for a while, Brian Wilson was touring with them again, and then he quit again. Pretty sure it's just Mike Love now. Maybe Al Jardine.
Al Jardine, Bruce Johnston, and it says Brian Wilson.
It's so weird. They were doing rival tours.
Oh, really? Like,
recently, yeah.
Well, you're going to go to the Brian Wilson one, right?
You would think.
I saw him perform at Carnegie Hall.
So was that for the smile?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. He had like someone's job was to do the banter. He did not do any banter. Like,
so he would talk in Brian Wilson's place?
He would just, in between songs, he would handle the chit chat. Brian Wilson would just kind of stand there.
Yeah, I've heard also he has like a piano in front of him, but he never plays it.
Yeah,
he just feels comfortable
behind a piano. I could see that. Like, I like having a guitar in front of me no matter what.
Sure.
Because it covers your genitals.
It's that.
It's nice to, you know, cover your genitals. That way, you know, if anyone decides they want to take a shot at you during the show, you're covered. So maybe it's a similar thing.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I have the keyboards. No one's going to take a shot at my nuts during this concert at Carnegie Hall. I don't know, it's a valid concern.
Mm-hmm. John Stamos doesn't still play with them, does he?
Let's run a check on that. Stamos. How did he wind up playing drums in the... Do they have two? Do they do like an Allman Brothers thing? Where...
I don't know. I just know when they were on Full House, Stamos played drums.
But I think in real life he went out and played with them.
No, he did. Yeah, he toured.
And like, but on the Beach Boys Wikipedia page, not listed as a member, past or present.
Mm-hmm. So he's probably just live.
Yeah, but still, that's gotta hurt. It's gotta mess with his head.
Yeah. But, so that'll be the history fluffer tonight.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Should we drive it home?
Let's drive it home.
Let's drive it home. Lucy's bored out of her mind. I hope the listeners aren't.
Yeah, so we should start live streaming the recordings.
Oh, so people can sit.
People can ask us questions. And...
Yeah, let's do it. How do we do it? Is the technology there?
It is, but I quickly discovered that to do it from your phone, you need to have 1,000 YouTube subscribers
before they let you live stream. Do I? I don't even know. I'm not a big YouTuber.
Me neither. I've never been.
Gotta start YouTubing.
But we can live stream it from our laptops.
Oh, that's
sweet.
You just can't
do it from your phone.
Oh, that's cool. Good. I don't want to do it from... I might be getting calls. Podcasts. Live streaming.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to live stream History Fluffer tonight.
Though. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Yeah, just for our Patreon subscribers.
Oh, sweet.
And if all goes well, we'll do that every week.
Yeah.
For our Patreon.
The cops are coming, because they're like, that idea is so good, it's illegal, Chris. We're coming to arrest you.
And we're also going to have Dangerous Snakes t-shirts. Wait,
bullshit. Yeah, finally. Sorry for the delay on that one, folks. Mm-hmm. But we're ready to pull the trigger. And then we have some other things we need to fulfill, which we'll fulfill in short order.
Yeah.
But until next time, let's get out of here. Well, let's tell everyone to do the Patreon. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, why is it so hard?
Yeah.
I'm turning tricks. A lot of people don't know that. I've been turning tricks to raise money to
pay your
keep
rent.
This pod. Yeah, to keep the podcast going, pay the rent, and really would love to stop doing that.
Yeah. You don't want to know what I've been up to.
No, that's horrifying.
Patreon.com/
Dave Hill.
Dave Hill. What happens if you put a backward slash? Let's see.
Patreon.com. I think your computer explodes.
Dave Hill. Oh, fuck. Nah, it just searches for it.
All right, sweet.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lucy. She didn't even look up. Weird.
And there you have it. Another episode of Dave Hill's Podcasting. In the books, in the can, in your butt. No. Don't say those things, Dave. That's in poor taste. Did I mention? I think I have. I have a new book out October 8th. It's about my adventures in Canada, my ancestral homeland. I guess I'm partly Canadian. It depends how you look at it, really. But you can read all about that in my new book, Parking the Moose, available now for pre-order wherever incredible books are sold. Go to your local independent bookstore, tell them you want it as soon as it comes out. Or, you know, you can go anywhere else. I'm not going to tell you where to buy books. Just as long as you read. Most importantly, of course, read. That's Lucy's, like, shifting around. I'm trying to put her butt on stuff, as is her wont. All right, let's ride off into the podcasting sunset one more time. Thanks to my partner, Chris Gersbeck, for making this all possible. He's the brains behind the operation. Thanks to my sweet hellhound, Lucy, who's here. She's got her head on my arm. She's such a sweet sweetie. I can't take it. I can't take it. She's my baby girl. All right. Thank you for listening. Tell a friend. Tell a loved one. Tell an enemy to listen. And let us know. Drop me a line at dave@davehillonline. Ask me a question. Let me know you're out there. There are days when I think, maybe I should join the Peace Corps. Do people still do that? I don't know. Let's find out. Or the Foreign Legion. That's what I'm going to join. That would be cool. I think they have cool hats. I'm not sure. Let's find out. Okay. Until next time. I'm Dave Hill, pride of Cleveland, America's sweetheart, and Lucy's daddy. I was gonna say that. Damn, Lou.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.